Welcome to Let's Talk About Tests Baby, a weekly podcast about software testing, QA processes, agile, and other general geekery. My name's Jem Hill, and I'll be your host. Hello listeners, and welcome to episode 23, this time with roughly 70-75% less cold virus. This week's episode is called You Can't Teach a Fish to Climb a Tree, which comes from the Einstein, I think, quote, which is everyone is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its whole life believing that it is stupid. Ignore the everyone is a genius part, because I'm not sure I agree with that and it's quite complex, but essentially, what I want to talk about is usability testing and how to get the answers that you want out of usability testing. So I'm writing an episode about usability testing, there'll be another episode later on. And then I started to look back on the one experience I have with usability testing, which was with a company that I worked for last year. They trialled outsourced usability testing, which involved hiring a company that hires people that will test websites and apps for you. So you're basically paying people to test, but the people weren't testers. They were just members of the public, which is fine, because that's the whole idea of usability testing. But because they kind of signed up for this to do this work, I think they felt that they had to give some form of feedback, regardless of if they actually had any feedback to give, if that makes sense. So the way it worked is we got audio of the tester using the, I think it was a website that we gave them, and they recorded the screen as well, so we could see what the user was doing and we could hear what the user was saying. But the feedback was the audio feedback especially was really awkward. I mean, there were some nice bits on the having the screen recording so we could see where the user went and what sort of stuff they were trying to do. But the actual audio and sometimes we got written feedback as well wasn't actually that useful. It wasn't sort of, I would expect to see this or anything like that. It was more, I think at one point they were just like, this is a menu. And it's like, well, yes, I know, we know it's a menu. It's quite clearly a menu. It's got just words and you can click on the words. It takes you to those sections of the site. It wasn't anything in depth. And I just wonder if that was an issue with people not understanding usability testing and how that should work. The other feedback we got from testers was mostly like subjective aesthetic feedback. So the logo was not the right size or colour or whatever for them, as opposed to anything sort of, this doesn't look right because of these reasons. It was very much subjective. They didn't like it, which you can't really take just from one feedback session. You have to get more to see if it is actually a thing, whether there is an issue with design or if it's just subjectively people don't like it. And so kind of got me thinking about usability testing and how you can ensure you get the correct feedback. I think the first issue is people think of testing as a thing that you do. And well, obviously it is a thing that you do, but sometimes what you want users to do when they're testing is to just use the site or the app as they would normally, as opposed to actually actively doing or thinking about something, which leads to a lot of people interacting in a different way because they're thinking about what they're doing as opposed to the very much sort of not thinking, just doing, which is kind of what you want from usability testing. And user journeys are meant to be quite simple, obvious. You're not meant to have to think about things. You're meant to have to just know almost instinctively that this is what you need to do. And that, all that, it's not instinctively, it's context dependent, but the context should feed in, so you shouldn't have to be actively thinking about it, at least not for usability testing. Because, of course, what you want from users is, I was expecting this, not that, or I didn't expect this to happen. And that's when you get the whole sort of, it's like when you test something, you go, oh, that's the moment that you want, that sort of, oh, that's not right, or that is right, but I wasn't expecting it to be like that. At the same time, you can't tell people how to test or influence them in any way, really, because then you don't get, you're loading the question, and that feedback then isn't what they're actually thinking at the time. I suppose you can give them a task, so I want you to buy this product from the site or use the app to buy tickets for this event, for example, and then that kind of guides them at least to some form of context about what you want back from them. And then you've got to get them to focus on the journey as well. I mean, obviously, they've got to be able to achieve what you want them to achieve, whether that be buying something or finding a certain piece of information, if it's an informational site or app, something like that. As well as being able to achieve that, it's the journey they need to focus on. And then you want people to think out loud, or at least report back what they're thinking. Because thinking out loud is how you get to an answer, regardless of the actual answer. And the answer isn't necessarily always important. I mean, again, if it's a site where you're purchasing something, for example, then yes, the answer, the thing at the end, is incredibly important. But the journey getting there is kind of more important in a way. Once you know that the journey isn't stopping people from getting there, then you know where you need to work on from there. There's a blog post I'm putting in the show notes about teaching people to think out loud, which is something I'd not even thought of. It's a really interesting blog post. And the idea that they have is that you ask someone something stupid, like the number of windows in their house, and then ask them to talk through what they're doing mentally while they think of the answer. So make it clear that you don't really care about the number of windows in their house, because it is that kind of question where it doesn't matter. No one really cares, at least not in the context of testing something. But the actual mental journey they're taking, moving through from room to room to room, counting the windows, that's what you want. You want the, right, so if I start in this room and then it makes sense for me to move to that room because it's next to it, and then I go to that room because it's on the same floor before I move up to the next floor. And just get them to think about their thought processes and what they're doing and why they're doing it. And cultivating that way of thinking, that way of analysing what they're doing and why without analysing it in a way, is more like them to then have that moment where you go, oh. The moment where something surprises you in the system, whether it be a good or a bad surprise, it's still a surprise. And that's the important bit. That's the bit where that sort of usability testing really comes in handy. Because even testers after a while just get so used to the layout of the system when they're testing iteratively, especially when they've seen the same menu from sprint 1 and it's now sprint 6. They expect that this is how the system works. And so setting that down in front of someone brand new and having them test in that way is really useful. Because once you've just got them thinking out loud and just going, oh, you can then dig into why they're saying that, what has surprised them, what about it has surprised them, and what would they expect? Why did this surprise them? What would they want to have or expect to have instead? And then you can build the issue up and around how and why it affects them, and if it's something that does need changing, or if something else about the UX needs changing, whether some more guidance is needed somehow. But it's that moment that you need first, and you need to cultivate that, oh, and that requires people to kind of think about what they're doing without thinking about it, which when someone knows they're testing something, it's quite hard for them to do because they're overthinking absolutely everything. Whereas if you just get people off the street, I think it was ThoughtWorks that wrote a blog post about guerrilla testing, where he's literally just hijacking people off the street, asking them if they've got a couple of minutes, bring them into a coffee shop and get them to test just for a couple of minutes, just to see what their instinctive, not thinking reactions are. Back when I was speaking to Chris in episode 11, he mentioned the BBC have a user testing lab, which is brilliant. And even in those sort of situations, you do see people interacting with the site in ways that you weren't thinking of. Because at the end of the day, the internet is huge and sort of ubiquitous. And so, especially when you're working in an agency, I think there are things that you take for granted. Burger menus, the way menus change across breakpoints, things that we don't generally think twice about, but someone might not understand or interact with in the same way. And so we need to understand what people are thinking. So thinking out loud and cultivating that atmosphere where people will just say what they're thinking out loud, but not forcing them to feel that they have to provide feedback, is a nice way of, first of all, making sure that people don't self-censure when they are giving feedback, but also cutting down the signal-to-noise ratio. Because if people are thinking out loud, but they don't feel like they have to give feedback, if they're just going, yeah, no, that kind of makes sense, and not being forced to feel like they have to give feedback for every step of the way, then you can get that sort of feedback that you need, the instant not thinking feedback, but without as much of the feedback that you don't need. So it's kind of two separate, almost opposing ideas you need to bring together when talking to people about testing, because you can't tell them how to test, so you don't want them to overthink the testing. But you also need to actually verbalise their thinking process in order to get the feedback that you need. And so you need to set up the atmosphere, the environment quite well, I think, so that people know exactly what you want them to do, but don't feel forced into having to give feedback for every step of the way. You only give the feedback that occurs to them naturally. Another way of doing it, of course, is surveys. We have a site at the moment that's currently in public beta prior to go live, and there's a survey at the top, to say your feedback, how you feel about this, or can you go back to the normal live site? And as with all surveys, you've got to make sure your questions aren't leading or loaded, and there's the objective and subjective feedback, and things like that. And obviously there's going to be a lot of stuff to sift through that can be thrown away because it's not useful feedback. But again, that's still quite difficult. I mean, survey design is incredibly difficult because it's so easy to not even deliberately leading questions, but that's just the way human psychology works. And so the way that the survey set out for this site, this is the one that a client came up with, is that there's a list of questions that have like rate between 1 to 5, strongly agree, strongly disagree sort of range answers. And then there's a load of free text questions so people can choose to write what they want, which is great. I think giving people that space to just write what they want to write, I mean, it means there'll be more work on the client side to sift through all that, but at least they're getting more feedback. Whereas if it was strictly a set of range questions or multiple choice answers and things where that people are limited in what feedback they can give, that wouldn't be useful. Whereas the free text ones, while they're being a lot of work, will probably get more better feedback. I do wonder though if there's a set of questions that would make that sort of thinking out loud kind of come across in a written survey. Like sort of like a did you find everything you were looking for today type questions, maybe. If there was something you couldn't find, what was it? That sort of feedback where it's kind of, so there's a bit of guidance to the feedback that you want, but you're still not giving the user steps to follow that might bias the feedback. Essentially, I think you need to think of ways of getting users to think about the journey and not the scenery, which I think is the hardest part of usability testing. And I think I'm going to leave that there for this week. As always, show notes are on the site. You can email me at letstalkabouttests@gmail.com. I'm on Twitter @letstalktests. I will see you next week. Hope you have a good week. Bye.